be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
I want to welcome everyone to our show today. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. And, you know, the purpose of this show is to inspire and educate you all about adoption. We've been doing that since our first show on June 2nd, and we've had so many really great responses and just great folks, guests on the show. So just really is a privilege of mine to be doing this show every week and bringing you what I would consider to be fabulous guests and information. And we hope that each week you are truly inspired. So, you know, last week we met with David Miko. If you didn't hear the show, I would highly recommend that you go back and download this particular show. David is in charge of adoptions in the Office of Children's Issues at the Intercountry Adoption, the Bureau of Consular Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the show, it's relevant, especially after this show, because we're going to be talking about my guest, Amanda Grant, and I are going to be talking about what to do while you wait. And until now, I didn't know anything about the adoption.state.gov website and the important work of that department. David leads a team of 21 people who are working to support the Hague accreditation, as well as provide intercountry updates and information if you are adopting internationally. So before we get into our show today, though, I want to call your attention to one of our upcoming holiday shows. Holidays are just around the corner, and I'm really excited to announce that we're going to be featuring some real angels, at least angels of adoption, on the show. You'll recall that we had Pam Krosky on the show recently, who won the Congressional Coalition for Adoption Institute's Adoption Angel Award. And I was so excited to hear about this program that I asked the staff to help me put together a panel of angels to come on our show and talk about what they've done on behalf of adoption. So we're putting that panel together. All I can say is, just in a first read of their bios, get your tissues ready, folks. This one's going to be a really good one. So stay tuned for more information about that upcoming holiday show. So I'm thrilled. I almost have to introduce you, Amanda, as my co-host, Amanda Grant with U.S. Adopt. Amanda is the CEO and founder of U.S. Adopt, and she is also an adoptive parent herself. She was working full-time in a pretty demanding career as a senior officer in institutional investment business, and she went through a domestic adoption. She experienced lots of challenges and pressures, as we all do, but out of that, she developed adoption education tools to guide people through the process more quickly and confidently while reducing risk and costs. And you can find out more information about Amanda's work on her website at usadopt.com. Amanda joins me today. We're going to talk a little bit today about what to do while you're waiting. And for most, these are pretty difficult times for the holidays if you are waiting for your adoption to be completed. And so we thought it would be a good idea to bring Amanda on the show. And I know that when you have to wait, you want to be busy doing something. You want to have some tips. So hopefully today you're going to walk away with some tips and some things that you can do that you can get organized while you're waiting. So, Amanda, welcome back.
Thanks
so much for being
here. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Yeah. Now, I know you and I have both been through this wait before. tell us how long was your wait for Isaac?
Well, mine was actually relatively brief. From the time that I sort of completed all of the work that needed to be done and was available to be matched was only 2.5 months.
Oh, wow. Yours was really quick.
It was.
And so I will tell you that my weight, our weight at our baby shower, kind of the announcement after we received our referral, was a total of 29 months. I say that we exceeded the gestation of an elephant. When we got to thinking about how, you know, exactly how long when we first started the process, when of course we were going to China. So when we first started the process, they said 8 to 12 months, and that went to 15 months, and it just grew and grew and grew. Now I have to tell you that people, I'm sure, are listening to this and they're saying, well, gosh, she was lucky, because right now the wait for a healthy infant is 3 to 5 years. So
that's right.
So it's a long, long, long time. But I do want to reiterate that if you are interested in going to China, as we've had before folks on the show regarding China, the special needs program that China has is a very, very good program, and I would highly recommend you do that. And there's a much shorter wait period in that. So, but today we are going to talk a little bit about the wait. And Amanda's going to give us some general information about the three phases of adoption. So can we kind of start there, Amanda, and kind of get an overview of what we're really looking at?
Absolutely. And I think there's a really positive way to look at this too, Kelly, because when people hear about the wait during adoption, they automatically think about the waiting period that comes near the end of the process to be matched or referred with a child. And actually, when you break the adoption process down into the three phases that I'm going to talk about, there's a waiting period associated with each, but the really positive way to look at this is it's a doing stage in each phase of the adoption, where you can not only be doing things to keep you busy, but do things that are actually going to improve the process experience for people as they go through the journey. So the three phases, as I break them down, and a lot of people do, are pre, mid, and post-adoption. And simply put, pre-adoption is from the point that a family or an individual decides to adopt a child through the time they decide how they're going to adopt that child, with what professional, an agency, or an attorney, and then move forward. Mid-adoption is the phase that people tend to think of where all the work gets done. So you're now working, engaged with an agency or an attorney, and you're doing the home study and all of the associated documentation and profile creation that goes along with that, all the way through the point when you actually receive placement of a child. And then post-adoption is from the point when that child is now at home with you and has been placed going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's a very easy way to look at the entire journey. Obviously, there's a lot of complexity in each of those phases, but that means that there are a lot of opportunities for people to prepare in advance for what needs to be done in each of those phases.
Well, and I think it's really great that you are kind of putting this into three separate sections, because if you are a new parent or a new prospective adoptive parent and you're really looking at the adoption picture, it's really rare, I think, for people to sit down and talk to you to say, this is what's happening now, this is what's going to happen next, and this is what's going to happen after that.
Right.
A lot of times, you may have had this experience yourself, Amanda, I know that I did, I felt as if I was being led. And that's good, being led through that process. You know, my agency was holding my hand. They were leading me through the process. The difference was is that they knew where I was going, and I did not. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
They knew the path, but I did not know the path. And so I think if you're on that pre-adoption process, and as you're looking for agencies in that, it's very important to ask the question, show me the path. What does the path look like, so that they can give you somewhat of an idea? I don't know if that would be a recommendation from you.
Absolutely.
But I think it would be. Yeah.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. Because
people
tend to be uncomfortable asking. They're afraid of sort of being the squeaky wheel in the adoption process, because they think it might mark them as someone not convenient to work with, which is absolutely not true. We have to, pre-adoptive parents, in the best of circumstances, have to self-advocate and ask questions.
Right, right. And you have to, don't be afraid, as Amanda just said, do not be afraid to ask those questions, because I think it's very, very important. And it is okay if you are a squeaky wheel. First of all, you're not, but it's okay if you think that you're a squeaky wheel. Tell us about this. Should we just, let's just focus first on this pre-adoption. What are the things that you can do in advance in terms of pre-adoption?
So the biggest things that you can do in advance to alter the success of your process overall and your experience of it are to make the key adoption decisions about the type of child and other relevant factors, and I'll give you a list of those in a second, before you select an agency or an attorney. The biggest mistake that I see over and over again is people jumping into working with a professional based on a referral from a friend or someone else they know without really doing research and knowing what it is they hope to achieve through their adoption. And they unfortunately sometimes end up with an agency or an attorney that is not the most fitting for their situation. So they can really save a tremendous amount of time and heartache and unfortunately sometimes money by making sure that their first choice of an adoption professional is their right choice. And the way to do that is to really have clarity around their adoption objectives. So deciding things before you talk to professionals like, what is your adoption budget? How many children are you interested in adopting, and do you understand why? If you are considering children of a different ethnicity or international culture, and have you thought through all the implications of that? Are you willing to adopt a child who is a child identified as one with special needs from the foster care system, and perhaps an older child? So those are just, you know, four or five of some of the big decisions, but these are things people tend to not decide until they have already engaged a professional. And at that point, you're very much emotionally invested in the adoption journey, and it is far from the ideal time to make those decisions.
Right. And talk a little bit about, because I know that was some of the passion and dedication for you about why you created US Adopt, right?
It is. You're right. Because I think because what I have seen over and over again is that there really is a way to make this process much more manageable for people and less painful than they perceive it to be. And what that really comes down to is clarifying a family's understanding of what they're doing and why they're doing it, and being able to provide tools so that they see where they can make changes in how they approach the adoption journey that really do tangibly impact the outcome of the process for them. And that was my motivation in initially beginning US Adopt, so that I could help people do just that.
Right. And it's very important. I mean, you're going to, no matter where you go with this process, everyone realizes that this is an expensive process. Adoption, be it domestic or international, is an expensive process. But you have to be careful and strategic about where you start. And as Amanda is saying, the research and information that you're doing before you engage that professional. And I know that that's a really, really important thing. I know it took me, for example, I must have spent several hours each night for several weeks looking online for adoption agencies, and I had a particular criteria that I wanted. I wanted them to be local. I wanted them to have, you know, I wanted them to have an agent in the country that we were interested in going to. There were just a couple of factors that we had in terms of what we wanted to look for. And it took a long time. It took a really long time. And then we got our list down to maybe three or four, and we actually went out and interviewed them. I mean, actually went out and sat down and talked to them and asked them, you know, if they met, if it was a good match for us. So we would highly recommend that. We're getting ready to go on break, and we're going to come back, though, because this is really an important show. I have with me, again, Amanda Grant, who is the CEO and founder of US Adopt. And we're talking today a little bit about what you do while you're waiting. And so we're going to be right back. We want to do a shout-out to our corporate sponsors who make this show possible. Of course, US Adopt, Beacon House Adoptions, America's Christian Credit Union, and our newest sponsor, Nature's One. So do stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551, a 501c3 charitable organization.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and we're here today with Amanda Grant with U.S. Adopt. Amanda is the CEO and founder of U.S. Adopt. You can find out more information from her on her website at usadopt.com. We're talking today about what to do while you're waiting. And, you know, I know that for a lot of folks, the holidays are really, really tough time if you are in the midst of an adoption and you're waiting. I can personally tell you that I remember specifically that time, and I just really send my heart out to those folks who are in the waiting process, because it can be very, very difficult during this time. I want to welcome you back, Amanda, and thanks for coming back to the show and being with us today. Before we get into the rest of this, I just want you to talk. How are things going? I know you're in New York, so how are things going in New York with the aftermath of the hurricane?
Oh, well, thanks for asking, Kelly. We appreciate it. You know, I think in a lot of ways things are getting back to normal. It was quite a surreal experience for the city and the general area, but there's still a lot of repair underway, a lot of commuting issues for people, and of course there were so many people who were left completely homeless that are still in the throes of trying to just get back to anything that's somewhat normal. So it's kind of slow going, but the spirit is good and people are working together.
Yeah, and I know that you personally had some issues with your home and with your office and travel and all of that, and I'm so glad that you and Isaac are safe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And it seems like it was pretty widespread. I mean, it seemed like that, like I have friends who were in Hell's Kitchen that had nothing. They just didn't even seem like there was anything going on. And then you had lost quite a bit of loss. And so it seemed like it was pretty, pretty varied.
It really was, and it changed from block to block and city to city. And thank goodness, I mean, we count our blessings. Nobody was hurt in our family, and our home survived. There are people who were so much more worse off. So, you know, everyone's really banding together to just try and be patient around here and help each other out.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, we're glad you guys are okay, and sending more thoughts and hope that everybody's going to get back on their feet really soon.
Thank you.
So we're back to what to do while you're waiting. And before we went on break, we talked about the three phases of adoption: pre-adoption, which is deciding to and how you're going to do your adoption. And then, of course, mid adoption is really the home study and all the way to placement. And I kind of wrote a little note down that said, that's the busiest. We're going to get into
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
And then the post being when, after you receive your child and your home. So let's dive into this, the mid-level adoption process, the items and all the things that you need to be doing. I can
Absolutely.
Tell you that I have a master's degree and I thought, oh, well, that'll just be easy. That dossier will just be so easy for me. And, you know, what hasn't anyone thrown at me, right? And I have to tell you, it was a pretty difficult document. So if you're in the middle of this, I give you all of my sympathy because it's a pretty difficult document. So tell us about this, this particular level.
Well, there are so many documents, but this is the phase that tends to make people feel the most uncomfortable, resentful, overwhelmed, unfortunately. And really, it should be the phase where they are feeling like every step they're taking is moving them closer towards the adoption and where they should be getting excited. So the way to do that and really to have the biggest impact on how the process proceeds is to prepare, again, in advance of getting into the process. So before you even start working with your attorney or agency, there's a list of things that you can be doing to move your journey forward. And it includes things like starting work on the contents of the dossier for an international adoption, completing the adoption profile forms required by your agency or information required by your attorney. You can be preparing the contents of what you will be asked during the home study process. This is part of the process that takes the longest during the mid-adoption phase. And part of the reason it takes the longest is because people don't take the time or realize they can address the questions that they are going to be asked during a home study in advance. And some of these questions are tough. They require thinking about your own childhood, your relationships with people in your life, how you plan to parent. Some questions that really require some forethought. And so preparing those responses ahead of time puts you in a position where when you come to the home study, it's not new information. You're not being surprised by anything. You can also go ahead.
I'm just going to say, sure. Does the list of questions live anywhere specific, or is it agency by agency in terms of the home study questions?
Well, every agency or independent social worker does it a little bit differently. The contents are generally the same. One of the things US Adopt provides to clients is a composite group of questions that tend to be asked on all home studies. There are certainly examples out there on the internet that people can look at, and often if you're considering an agency, they will, if you ask them to provide you with the type of autobiographical questions you'll be asked, they will provide it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
You can also be preparing during this phase the references that you will be asked for. Every adoption requires usually 3 to 5, if not more, personal references. You can be preparing the communication that you will send to those references when you're ready to ask them to participate. You can be gathering your photos and drafting your dear birth family communication, which will be required in some form or another for every adoption. You can also be putting together your financial statements and tax returns and a list of all of your prior addresses. And this one varies a little state by state, but everyone has to go through a child abuse registry background check. And it's either for the last all of your addresses for the last 10 years or for the last 18 years or somewhere in between there. So you can be gathering that data. Pulling together your employment history, which will be required, scheduling a physical, and for some adoptions and some agencies, you're also required to get a local police report that just testifies to the fact that you've never been convicted of anything or in trouble in your neighborhood. All of these pieces take a lot of time, and they are what people think of as the paperwork associated with an adoption, but the majority of this can be prepared ahead of time before you even start your work with your agency or attorney.
Well, and so one of the things that I will tell you is that if going back to the background checks,
mm-hmm.
and any of those things. If there is, and, you know, many people do have, you know, they'll have like a police report or they'll have something, you know, driving incident or whatever. And then you have to also look at the time that it takes. You have to go and actually get a judge's signature, or you have to actually go and get it, get the documentation from that, from the particular court. And if you're not in the same city that you were in when that happened, you know, it's interesting because they will go back a number of years, and it could be something. For my husband, for example, it was something that happened when he was in his 20s, and we had to go all the way back and go back to the court and get the documents and blah blah, and write a letter and why this happened, and you know.
That's right. Well, and the same thing if someone's been married once or more times before, they'll have to be able to provide documentation of why the marriage ended, so they need to build that extra time in also.
Right. And so the completion, the contents of the dossier, we talked a little bit about where you get the questions for the home study. Is there a list of the contents of the dossier that are available that people can start, that a person could start looking at and drawing those materials?
There are various lists on different adoption resources available on websites. Certainly US Adopt has a list that we can provide to people as well.
Okay.
There's no one central location. As with everything else in the world of adoption, unfortunately, there's no centralized resource center.
Right, there isn't. Now, I will tell you, put a little plug in for my friend here, John Kirk. I don't know if you know John, but he has a company called eAdopt. And eAdopt is not necessarily a company that a consumer, a prospective adoptive parent would work for, but he provides a back-end service that has computerized, has created electronic documents of all the things that we're talking about for an agency. So literally, you can get in if your agency uses the eAdopt materials, you can get in and actually use that. And I think that that's really a fabulous service that he is providing. Amanda, talk to us a little bit about the whole authentication, certification, notary, that cycle, that circle.
You mean as far as timing or?
Just in terms of each one of the documents in the dossier has to be certified, notarized, authenticated.
Right.
Did you have to go through that process when you were adopting, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I adopted through an agency, and mine was a domestic adoption, though everything does have to be notarized and certified, but when you're working with an agency, that's part of the services provided by the agency to have that done for you. Everything is reviewed. As well as state audits when you're going through an international adoption. My understanding is that it's much more of the responsibility of the adoptive family to actually manage that aspect of the process.
Yes, that's true. And I can tell you from my own personal experience again that I did not learn, and I think it's really important, this is another thing that you could do in this mid-process for adoption, and that is going to your professional and making sure that you understand what a notary is supposed to look like. You will have a form that looks like that, but I ran into a particular problem when I had all of my documents notarized, and then I took them to the state office to have them certified, and she sent me back to several with several documents that were not correctly notarized.
Oh no.
And that can be a real problem, especially if you're in an international adoption, because the role of the agency has to be around authenticating those documents and then also, in many cases, translating those documents. So every day is a day, like a week lost, because you have to get your particular login date, and that depends upon when you get logged in. So those of you that are going through an international adoption, just be aware, and even a domestic adoption, just be aware that the notary is very important. So go to a reputable place, a bank or someplace like that, that knows, and make sure that you have the copy of what the notary is supposed to look like so that you can compare that to what the person is doing. Another big important piece is that if their date has expired by the time you send it in, you have to go back and get it again. They will have a stamp date, and if the stamp date has expired and the time that you send your dossier in, you have to go back and get it again. So just watch those things. Those are little bitty things that I think can really, really make your life very complicated, as we all know in this particular process. So we're talking a little bit about this mid, adoption process and some of the items and things that you need to do to kind of end the turmoil while you're doing this. And as we talked about, the contents of the dossier, you can get those on the USAdopt.com website. And as Amanda said, completing all the forms that you need prior to this, and then also looking at where you get the questions for the home study, and being very, very prepared when you begin the process of the home study. And that's certainly a lot to keep anybody busy in this process. Well, we're going to take a break, a short break, and we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about doing this post-adoption process and some other little things about what we can do in advance while you're waiting. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and we have Amanda Grant with us today, who is the CEO and founder of US Adopt. And we're so excited. We're talking about what to do while you wait. But before we get into this next segment, I mentioned how grateful we are. We have a new sponsor, Nature's One, and each week Nature's One is going to be giving us a nutritional tip for our prospective and adoptive families that are out there. So this week, tip is children who have been unfortunately institutionalized can develop picky eating or hoarding behaviors that can make it difficult to achieve a balanced diet. A complete nutritional beverage such as organic PediaSmart provides 29 vitamins and minerals and is a good source of protein and extra calcium for strong bones. For more information about organic complete nutrition beverages, you can go to naturesone.com. That's naturesone.com. And so we're back with Amanda Grant, who is the founder and CEO of US Adopt. And we're talking about what to do while you wait, really the three stages of pre, mid, and post, and talking about all these different things that you can do in advance. So we just finished talking about the pre and the mid. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the post. So Amanda, tell us about some things that you can do in advance so that you can keep yourself busy while you're in this.
Absolutely. Well, and even more than keeping yourself busy, you can be so much better prepared for when your child does join your family. There are quite a few things that people can do while they are waiting to actually be matched and have a child placed in their home. And these are really important things, both for the short term and long term. So to start, you should be doing any work that you have to do with professionals during this phase, and that means talking to your employer to determine when you will be going on leave, if you're going to be taking leave, and also arranging for health insurance to become active and applicable to your child, and what paperwork is required that can be completed in order to line that up so that it's effective the day the child is placed in your home. You also should be taking the time now to work with an estate planner. If you have a will, now is the time to update it and to start thinking about guardianship and trusts. If you don't have a will, now is the time to have one created and prepared, which takes time, and that can be done while you're waiting for the child to get home, so that once the child is placed with you and the adoption is finalized, you can execute on that will. This is also the time, very importantly, when you should be working with your tax planner and or financial advisor. And if you don't have one, now, again, is the time to get one, because bringing either your first child or building your family with the addition of a child is a very significant long-term financial impact. And there's nothing better than working with a professional who can help you think about how this is going to have to change both your saving and spending habits and plans, even as far out as things like retirement planning and 529 plan administration, all of which can be set up far in advance of an adoption being finalized so that they are ready to execute. There's also a lot of fun stuff that you can be doing during this time, Kelly. If you practice a particular religion and there are celebrations associated with a new child in the family, now's the time when you can be making plans for that event or those events and determining where they'll be, when they'll be, who to invite. Importantly also, this is the time when you can be setting up child care plans, whether it's for an infant after you go back to work or for an older child, either part or full-time care, and also schooling requirements. All of these things need to be done and organized before the child actually comes home, and people often get so wrapped up in the adoption process itself that they forget to do all of these things and end up in a flurry of activity and a little bit of chaos once the child is home trying to line everything up.
Well, I have a classic story to share with you about that. It's not my classic story. It's someone who we were working with when we were adopting, going through our adoption process. The social worker that we were working with the agency, really, really told us about after you get back filing for your U.S. Certificate for, citizenship and the birth certificate and all of that. And one of the things that you can do, and I covered this a little bit with David Miko on the show last week, and that was that whole process of when that child becomes a citizen. For China, for example, the child becomes a citizen the moment they step into the country. But every country is different if you're looking at an intercountry adoption. So you can do that research, as Amanda is suggesting, to find out what that looks like. But this particular funny story was, and this woman was a social worker. She did this all the time, an adoption counselor. She had actually forgotten to file for a birth certificate. And then 5 years later, her child is going to kindergarten. And she doesn't have a certificate, a birth certificate.
Oh, no.
And so she had to go back. And so she told that story just about to every family that she worked with because, she just got caught up in the flurry of things and totally forgot about that. And I think it is really important for you to be sure to ask your adoption professional post when you get home, what are the things that you need to do? And then also when you get home, if you're doing an intercountry adoption, are there going to be fees, additional legal fees or additional fees that are required to make sure that that child becomes a citizen? What a great list, Amanda, because I will tell you that the estate planning, if you don't have a will or whatever the case might be. The other thing that I wrote down is that sometimes you may have additional expenses. So if you've traveled or whatever, you need to look at those, the overall cost of adoption. When I work with my families to talk to them about what is a comprehensive approach that they can take when they're doing an adoption, one of the questions that I am always sure to ask is who's staying home and who's going back to work? And in that time lost, in terms of the person who is the primary caregiver, how is that time being paid for? So, you know, are you taking vacation? Is it FMLA? What is it? Because sometimes some of those costs can roll over into that post-adoption experience. So you have to be sure to think about that. What am I going to do when that child gets home?
That's a great point.
Yeah, and who is going to be there. My own personal experience was I ran out of vacation time and I ended up having to take FMLA, and that can potentially be a financial burden on a family if you're not prepared to do that. Another one that I wrote down, all again a very good list, but this is a fun thing that you can do. Life books. I don't know if a lot of people, life books are just really fun to do. And while you might not have the child with you now, you can start looking online. You can start looking at some various different formats that you like, you know, putting the pre-family story together. It's very, very important to be sure to document your child's story and what they're doing when they finally get to you, what you've thought about, you know, reading books. Those kinds of things are always really, really important.
That's a great point, Kelly, because that's one of those things that once a child comes home, people get so busy that it tends not to happen right away. And if you start it earlier on, I mean, the adoption story of a child happens long before they become part of your family and step into your home. So there's no reason not to begin recording it in that life storybook.
It does. Well, I still have a very cherished video that my husband and I did when we painted our daughter's room. And we, you know, had the whole room cleared out and we were painting it and we were videotaping it. And we were videotaping it from the perspective of talking to her about what fun we were having painting her room. And then we put this little border around the room and we were showing the border and telling her what was in the pictures and how exciting it was, and showed her picture of her room.
That's great.
And it was, you know, it was a great, great experience for her to see that before, you know, and now, even now, she's 6 years old and she still watches that. So, it's kind of a fun thing for her to do. So there's a lot apparently that you can do, in advance to all of this. So it kind of is a little bit overwhelming. Can you give us a little bit of a list for each one of them, the pre, the mid, and the post, Amanda, that kind of helps us a little bit, solidify all this?
Of the items to prepare? Absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
So in summary, pre-adoption, the biggest aspect that should be prepared in advance is the decision of choices that clarify your adoption objectives, things like what your budget is, the age of the child, the number of children, if you're willing to consider a special needs situation, and perhaps a child of a different ethnicity. Make those decisions before you select your agency or attorney, because they will help you select the right professional the first time. Mid-adoption is when you can really be preparing all of the documentation that is required for your home study, your education, and all of the background checks, as well as communication that will be shown to prospective birth families. It's also when you can complete the dossier paperwork, as well as any government background checks such as child abuse and FBI background checks, keeping in mind there will be time limits to each of those. And then finally, in post-adoption, this is when you can prepare in advance, so you'd be doing it during the mid-adoption phase, working with professionals to make sure that you have arrangements made for health insurance any arrangements that need to be made with your employer, estate planning, financial planning, child care, celebrations, and memory keeping.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And, you know, what we can do is we can make these available. If you want to find more information, you can reach out to Amanda at usadopt.com. And, you know, she has all of this information available on her website, I guess, Amanda, or if they contact you.
Absolutely. I'm happy to send it to anybody who requests it.
Yeah, okay. That would be really great. Well, we're getting ready to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how you track all of this stuff from the calendar to scheduling and get a little bit more information about what you can do while you wait. Please stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551. A 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. This is Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and we're here with Amanda Grant, who is the CEO and founder of U.S. Adopt. And Amanda has, in her very organized style, I've worked with Amanda for a couple of months now, and not only is she a sponsor of this show, but she also does just amazing work working with families to help them really get organized, to help them save money and time and reduce the risk and costs of jumping into all these things quickly. So I would highly recommend reaching out to Amanda if you're thinking about an adoption process, and she can give you all of the information that we've talked about today in terms of the pre, the mid, and the post. So Amanda, honestly, I've been through this and I'm overwhelmed because, you know, you can think about all those things that you need to do. So help us get organized. Help us think about what can we do practically every day if there's something that we could do.
Well, Kelly, I'm all for simplifying, and I think that applies very well to the adoption process as well. So as much as these lists and everything that has to be done can be very overwhelming, especially if people aren't familiar even with the lingo yet, it's all doable. It needs to be broken down into small pieces and remember to do one thing at a time. But that being said, there's a couple of overall organizational tips that I think are very helpful. Like anything else that has a lot of detail in life, calendar it. Start a calendar specifically for your adoption journey, because there will be so many events, whether it's meetings with professionals or your agency or your attorney or trips abroad, that need to be calendared, and you have to really map out when the deadlines for everything are, and importantly also, how long is each item good for. So, for example, your FBI fingerprint background check, depending on where you are, I believe is either 12 or 18 months. Mm-hmm. You need to have that marked on a calendar, because not only may you have to redo that piece of paper or that that item during your journey, but that's also something that needs to be budgeted for if you have to redo it. So I think setting up a calendar is one of the big things that helps people keep organized. If you're an electronic gadget person, get it up on your computer. Otherwise, use a paper calendar, but date everything and put it on the calendar. I think
great.
The second big item is tracking expenses, because whether you plan to apply for the adoption tax credit, or you need to look back at qualified expenses, or you need to work with your financial planner, what you spend on the adoption process from day one of your research is going to be information that you need to use along the way. So set up a very simple expense tracking spreadsheet on Excel or on paper, if that's how you prefer to work, and track every dime you spend on every aspect of the journey, keeping receipts along the way.
And let me just add to this that because I do this and actually work with families on how to raise money for their adoptions and how to really look at this, one of the biggest issues in this is that you have to be able to look at it from a comprehensive approach. So instead of getting sideswiped, if you will, by, oh, here comes that expense or here comes that expense, you it's really, really important, as Amanda is saying, to be able to look at it from a full perspective. So month by month, what is due, how much money. If you're doing a domestic adoption, a lot of times those dollars are you need to be available at the beginning of the process. If you're doing an international adoption, many times that money can be available throughout the process. So it's different processes. And I'll just tell you, I do have a comprehensive budget available, and I'm happy to share that with anybody. If you email me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, I'm happy to share that with you free, and it's a good way to start the process. The other thing about the calendaring it, one of the things that I wrote down that I did, Amanda, I don't know if you did this, but you know, this is a very simple, practical thing. You know those folders with the pockets in them?
Yes.
So I actually went out when we started this adoption process, and I bought three of those. And so I didn't realize that I was following this process, but three of them. So one for pre, one for me, and one for post.
Yep.
And then putting the tabs on those and then having a calendar on the front of that, I think could be very, very helpful for you. The reason that that is important is we ran into a situation where last year or the year before in our tax situation where the IRS said they were going to refund all the tax, all the
right.
adoption expenses. And that was all wonderful. We were all raising our hands going, yay. But here was the catch. You had to go back and recreate all of your expenses.
Mm.
And I luckily had in one of my notebooks, in one of my pocket notebooks, I luckily had all of the expenses that were associated and all of the receipts that were associated.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter was five. So
but that's a perfect example. That is a perfect
yes.
example, because anyone now, refundable or not, however the tax credit ends up being,
right.
more often than not, applicants are audited for the expenses that are qualified for the tax credit. So you need mm-hmm. to have them on hand.
Yes, and don't throw them away after the first year. You need
right.
to keep these things at least 5 years. And I will also say this to you, especially if you're traveling abroad. If you're traveling abroad, you can take this with you and take the one that you're doing, the mid folder. And you can also put various different memorabilia in there. You can, you know, take pictures. You can do all of that and put it in there. And then if you don't have time to do your life book, then that's really your contents. All you have to do is wrap that up and put it away. And, you know, if that's not something that you want to do at that particular time. So very, very important to be sure to know that while you're doing this, you're also creating your child's story. So that's part of this process. You're not only getting yourself ready, but you're also preparing the story for your child to tell them someday. So what else can we do, Amanda? We've got calendar it and track your expenses.
Yep,
what's the next thing?
So there's calendar, there's expense tracking, there's figuring out the system of tracking all of this that works for you, Kelly. You just described your system of using binders. Some people like to do it electronically. Some people like to keep it in PendaFlex files. But whatever it is, start it immediately and continue to use the same process so that you always know where to find the things when you need them. And then I think the fourth piece, which is really important, there's so many pieces of communication that go out through the adoption journey, whether you're dealing with social workers, agencies, attorneys, friends, family, whoever it is, you're constantly communicating with people. Get those lists together now at the beginning of the process. Put together a list of all the professionals that are on your adoption team and all of their contact information. Same thing for people that you want to provide ongoing communication with about the status of your journey, because all those well-meaning people in your life will constantly say, how's it going? Have you heard anything? Where are you at? And you want to have that information ready. And then any list of people and contact information that you will need to do all of the planning we just discussed. So the contacts, for example, at your employer in the benefits department and HR department that you need to talk to about time off and insurance planning, your physician, your future child's physician. Create that list of contacts because you're going to use that every step of the way, and especially during the mid and post parts of the process.
Very, very important stuff. And two things that I would say to that, especially if you're traveling abroad, you want to make sure that you interview your the pediatricians to see if they have worked with children from the country that you're bringing your child home from. There are all kinds of different factors as it relates to that, nutrition, all kinds of different factors. So try your best to see if you can find a pediatrician in your area that has worked with a child from that particular country.
And then the good news is there are so many more pediatricians now involved in international adoptions that it's probably getting easier and easier to find.
Yes, it is easier and easier to find, and I think it's. But I think a lot of people don't ask that question,
right?
And the last thing that you want to do is get into a situation that might be actually relevant to your child's country, in a health regard. And so you want to be very careful to be able to circle back if you need to in order to get that information. Well, this is all just very good information, Amanda, and you've clearly done a lot of work to help us be organized. And again, we know what a difficult time it is for folks to wait. I know for me, I'm not a very patient person. I don't wait very well. And I know that this can be a very difficult time, but there are certainly a lot of things that you can do in the pre, the mid, and the post levels of or phases of adoption. And again, if you want to find some more information about this, you can reach out to Amanda Grant at usadopt.com. And again, Amanda, thank you so much for organizing this for us and helping us to know what we can do and what's in front of us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. So before we go, we're going to just give out our financial tip from our sponsor, America's Christian Credit Union. Today's adoption financing tip is to start a college savings account. Isn't that interesting that we would talk about that today? As soon as possible, to give your child a head start in life, America's Christian Credit Union offers youth accounts as well as educational savings accounts. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources for Christians, including adoption loans. You can visit them at www.americaschristiancu.com for details. Again, that website is www.americaschristiancu.com. And don't forget, stay tuned. We are going to have a very special holiday show, Angels in Adoption, and we will be making an announcement for when that show is coming up. So do stay tuned. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us today. Amanda, thank you. It's always so nice to have you on the show. What a great show. If you liked what you heard today, or if you have a suggestion for a show, or you would like to reach out to me, you can find me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or on my host webpage at voiceamerica.com. Thanks again to our sponsors, America's Christian Credit Union, Beacon House Adoption, U.S. Adopt, and Nature's One. And we hope you have a great week. Thanks so much.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.